Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Good morning. Happy Labor Day weekend to you. What a sunrise I saw today. Well, I don't think I actually saw the sun, but the colors in the clouds were pink and purple, and I kept looking as it was coming in, and woo, just gorgeous. So, Dr. Jerry Mixon here today. Yes, and Dr. Umat ran off to a Husky game.
That's right. She's off to the Husky game. So
So they'll do good. We know that. Sunshine and beautiful weather, and Dr. Umat cheering them on. They will do good. Well, we are live in the studio. This usually is a weekend that we have in the past been recorded. So we are all here in town. We thought, hey, let's be live. So if you have a question for Dr. Jerry Mixon, maybe want to talk about a diagnosis or you don't quite understand what's going on or you saw something on social media and you're going, is this true? I will not comply. That's what I've seen recently.
That's what I'm seeing a lot.
That's right. And we'll talk about it. Here's that number to call. It's a little different. Temporary phone number 206-421-5757. So that's the number to get through with your questions this morning. And the sooner you call, better chance you will have of getting your question answered. Don't wait until the very end. We want to talk to you right now. 206-421-5757. So Dr. Mixon, I will not comply. What are they talking about? Are the masks coming back?
Well,
are they wanting them to?
Politicians and the far left are talking about it. You know, the word COVID has become synonymous with dread, disease, and pandemic. Reality is COVID is a virus that is now well established in the human race, and it's going to be here forever. And we are not going to be able to shut down our societies and keep them shut down forever just because every fall some folks are going to catch COVID. Besides which, COVID has mutated and we have adjusted to it reasonably well. And for the vast majority of people that catch COVID, they're going to be sick with what amounts to a cold. And it'll last a couple of days and they'll get better. That's pretty much it. If you are over 85, if you have a suppressed immune system, you're on cancer chemotherapy, you're a fragile nursing home patient, etc., then you probably have a little more to worry about. But you're also equally fragile and likely to die from RSV or the flu or any number of other viral illnesses. So I'm not all that excited about COVID. My philosophy at the moment is unless I see changes in the data, unless it is mutated in a way that's going to make it much more virulent and dangerous to people, I have no intention of getting another vaccine, nor do I intend to wear a mask. It's going to have to come drag me away, along with about half of America's population. And they don't have room to incarcerate 150 million of us, so to hell with them. No, we're not going there. I am going to get some vaccines this fall, and that's just because, you know, when I was a family physician, I saw 30, 40 people a day coughing and hacking in my face, and it was important for me to keep all my vaccines right up to date because I was at risk. I was exposed to diseases all day, every day. I don't do that anymore. So when I was my country doc, I kept all my vaccines totally religiously up to date. I just went back through my records now that I've had my 76th birthday and said, I wonder what I ought to do. And I found some of my vaccines are 15 and 20 years out of date. I've gotten really sloppy since I became an aging doctor and I'm not in front of sick people every day. So yeah, I'm gonna go get my tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, the Tdap. Get that one updated because I'm way overdue. I'm gonna probably get my latest version of the coccidiomycosis, the pneumonia. Pneumococcus, that's what it is. The pneumococcus pneumonia vaccine. And I'll get my flu shot because flu is running around frequently.
Okay.
So those three. I'm going to go pick up those three just because they're way overdue. And
but not the COVID shot.
But not the COVID shot.
Not this year.
Nope. Not unless something changes. If the data changes, I'll change my mind.
But
right
if the politicians
now,
change...
No. I'm not going to change my mind just because the politicians want an excuse to play funny games with the election.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, they say, "Oh, we've got an emergency; we have to change all the rules again."
Oh,
no, we don't want to go there. And so, if the medical data changes, I'll change my mind. If the politicians simply demand more control, my answer is a resounding no.
Okay.
Maybe with an Anglo-Saxon expletive thrown in, not on the radio.
Not on the radio. So. Okay. So that's what's going on. RSV.
RSV, flu.
Okay.
Little.
Kind of like normal, right?
It's pretty much a normal year.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing is heightened political awareness.
Yes. Yes. Wow. All right. Here's the number to call in with your questions today, 206-421-5757. If you didn't get in last week, this is the time to call right now, 206-421-5757. Now, Dr. Mixon, I wanted to ask you about your book. It is September now. How much longer do we need to wait until we see it?
Well, I'm told, because it's at the printer.
Okay.
Okay, so the work has been done. It's just at the printer now. And I guess I should get they tell me I should get the first proof copy. They run off, 30 or 40 of them. And so they'll send me some proof copies to take a look at and make sure that I like the way it is done, et cetera, so they can – before they run off the big batches.
Okay. Yes. That's probably a good idea. That way, if there are any little slight changes, that can be made quick.
So I'm told that should arrive in the next 2 weeks or thereabouts.
Wow. Okay.
And if I like it, then they push the buttons and thousands of them start churning off the presses. And we'll have those, all printed out by the end of September.
That's awesome.
The question is, then, when do we put them on sale?
That's right, because you have a television show, PBS special that's coming
up. The TV people want first dibs.
Yes, that makes
sense. And use it as a premium for donating to public TV.
Uh-huh.
If you donate $15 a month, $180 a year to public TV, they will send you one of my books.
Okay.
Along with some other stuff, a DVD I've made and access to a website we're building for them. At what point does it go on Amazon? At what point do we sell it on the radio? At what point do I start doing book tours? I don't know.
Okay, we'll talk about that. But
that's all to be determined.
That's right. 2024, though, is looking very excited, as is the end of this year for you.
Yes, yes. Well, we've got our new clinic that we are planning to move into on the 23rd of this month, I think it is, 22nd, 23rd. So that's, 6,300 square feet. Right upstairs from where we're sitting right now.
Yes.
And so I got Bella Medica and the clinic going in. And we've got a new national campaign we'll be putting on. We've got all new websites we'll be rolling out over the next several months. So I've got a lot of new stuff. I've also got a new product I'm going to start
selling.
For age-related cognitive decline. that we're going to start putting on the market. We've got a couple of products, a couple of supplements that you can put together that actually have good clinical data showing that they can reverse both the decrease in blood flow to the brain and the cognitive decline of aging.
Okay.
They do not help with dementia. It's a totally different process.
So if you have got
got overt dementia, you have Alzheimer's, this will not help you. But if you just have the normal age-related cognitive decline, that is something that we can help turn around.
Ooh, and when might we see this available?
First quarter of next year.
Okay.
First quarter. It takes me, once I get the final formulations and everything ready, it takes about 12 weeks to get the manufacturing ramped up, and then they have to make enough, you know, so that if with success, I don't run out of it at the warehouse, because you hate to spend a lot of money marketing and then you run out of product.
That's not good, yes. I mean, it's good. I mean, they're all sold out within a week, but then it's like,
Yeah, but then I got to wait 12 weeks to get more. We have to get it in and get it set up so that every month a certain amount comes in. So So that's a process, but certainly in the first quarter of 24.
Okay.
So, but you know, there's a lead time. You got to get everything ready.
And you do a lot of testing, which we appreciate, Dr. Mixon. All right, you ready to go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
All right, Labor Day weekend, and here is our number if you have a question for Dr. Mixon, 206-421-5757. Headed to Burien, we have Joanne on the line. Hi, Joanne.
Hello, Joanne. How can we help?
Well, 3 weeks ago, I'm going on week number four. I developed upper respiratory virus, and on Monday I couldn't talk. I woke up with that, like laryngitis, and by Saturday I went to the doctor, and they said it wasn't COVID, and it's just an upper respiratory virus. Mm-hmm. It's leaving me now with a horrendous cough, especially at night with phlegm, some coughing during the day. I'm 81. I've lost a couple pounds. I weigh 89. Mm-hmm. And cough syrups seem awful. I end up getting up several times, about every 2 hours or so during the night. Seem to have more urine than what I think I'm actually taking in as far as liquids go. I'm drinking liquids, but trying to get rid of this upper respiratory cough with phlegm.
Yeah. Okay. So you've tried cough medicines and you're getting urinary symptoms. What else have you tried for it?
Whiskey, honey, and lemon.
Ooh, that's my grandma's formula.
That's right. Yeah. Grandma used to say to take that.
Yes, my grandmother used to treat us with grandpa's homemade whiskey and her honey and lemon.
Wow.
Yes.
You know what, Joanne? We got to take a quick break. Doctor's going to think on this for a minute, and then we'll be right back and talk about what can be done. Okay? Joanne, you stay right there. And Charlie, we're going to get to your call too, and Tim. So stay tuned. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We'll be right back.
It's kind of nice to know that it doesn't have to be.
Back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for joining us. We are live in the studio on this Labor Day weekend. First time in the studio for the month of September. Mm-hmm. And we do have some sunshine, but it's going to get quicker, looking like fall with clouds over the next several weeks and a little cooler too. So there you go, a little weather tossed in there. All right, we're talking with Joanne, wanted to know about what to do about that respiratory virus she's been fighting in week four now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you tried zinc as yet?
No, I do take vitamins, and it does have zinc in it, but not zinc specifically.
Okay. You might stop by your drugstore and just pick up some zinc tablets.
Okay.
People who use zinc get well faster than people who don't. Zinc tends to prevent a lot of viruses from spreading into the new tissues. And so it's kind of interesting. In one study down in South America, they treated children who obviously get a lot of colds when they go back to school, treated them for a year with just 5 milligrams of zinc a day. And they cut the number of respiratory infections by...
Okay, and we're back with Leading Edge Medicine. We had a brief interruption there. We were talking with Joanne, and Doctor, you were mentioning about the zinc right. is a good thing.
Yeah, zinc prevents the rhinoviruses, that 100 or so viruses that cause upper respiratory infections, to not be able to get into the new cells. So the cells that are already infected, when it gets kicked out of those, it can't get into new cells very well. So we found that in a South American study, they put school kids, when they went back to school, half of the kids on 5 milligrams of zinc a day, every day for the year, and half the kids didn't get it. The kids that used the zinc had 75% fewer respiratory infections throughout the school
year. Wow. Okay.
And, yeah, okay. And so we've got a lot of studies showing that when people get a cold, an upper respiratory infection, those who will take a zinc supplement, and the supplements are often like 50 milligrams a day, so it's a fairly big whack, but it shortens the cold.
Okay.
So
how much should you take a day?
Well, one 50 milligram capsule for an adult is
okay.
enough. The
okay.
recommended daily dose of zinc for a woman is only 8 milligrams a day.
Okay.
But that's if every day of your life. Okay. So getting your zinc from your food and stuff. But the 50 milligram doses, 40 or 50 milligrams, are what we're using for the acute colds. And you're only going to use it for a week or so. So that's fine.
While you've got the cold or at the
yes.
beginning of a cold. And how does that come, Doctor? You were mentioning under the tongue.
They have
something?
Three different versions. One is a nasal spray. I guess they also have a Q-tip that's soaked in a zinc compound that you can.
Okay.
But then most of them, either a pill, just a little capsule or tablet, or a lozenge that you can kind of let melt in your mouth or chew. So
if you
lots
do the
of
pills,
different forms.
Would you do that one a day or only
yes.
during the time that you have this, not vitamins?
No, it's too big a dose for forever. So you only take it at the beginning of the illness. And the earlier in the illness you take it, the better it tends to work, obviously, because the infection has less of a foothold on you. So you're, mm-hmm. You're several days in. So you'll probably need it for a week, maybe even 10 days.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
And then
yeah.
just periodically, maybe once a week or something?
Some people will take one tablet each week. And other people, like me, wait. And if I start to get a sniffle, then I take my zinc on day one as quick as I can.
I haven't been sick for a long time. I've had a very good immune system. But, boy, this one... makes you feel older.
I know.
Takes away your energy.
Yeah. Living a long time is good. Feeling old is bad.
Not so good.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully
yeah,
that's helpful, Joanne.
All right,
yeah,
Joanne.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call, dear. Bye-bye.
Okay. Wow. Okay, we're going to head to South Prairie. We have Charlie on the line. Hi there, Charlie. Happy
Hello,
Labor
Charlie.
Day.
Happy Labor Day to you guys. Well, good morning. I have actually two questions. One's just a fast question. One is they're advertising this Swedish cyber knife, and I'm wondering versus your resume. I mean, I'm a little leery about this knife.
Ooh!
Is the word knife that scares you?
Cyber knife, even yeah. Swedish cyber knife.
Yeah. I'm not aware of use of the cyber knife for prostate. It's used in neurologic surgery a fair bit. It's used for people that have Parkinson's and they've got intention tremors, or they've got a brain tumor that they need to ablate. So I'm well aware of the cyber knife's use in neurologic surgeries. I have not seen it used in prostate per se, unless
really?
Unless you're talking the proton radiation, which is a newer version. You know, I had a guy call me on this show last week, talking about a aqua ablation or hydroablation, and I promised him I would do some research on it, and I went in and did and pulled all the papers I could find. It actually looks quite nice. Has about 1/4 or 1/5 as many complications. They get less retrograde ejaculation. They get fewer of the people have to be redone 5 years up the road. Get less bleeding, less need for catheters for several months after. So the hydroablation or aquablation appears to be a very good method.
Well, they're advertising on the station both day, you know, like 770 and KVI. Yeah. They're advertising it all the time for your prostate. It's a cyber knife.
I don't know. But I will, like, as always, I'll look it up.
Yes.
But well, I see the cyber knife for prostate cancer, it says. That's
right.
Fred Hutch is advertising that one.
I see. So and my other question was maybe for Dr. Sumrath, or maybe you. Here's the little story. I worked in the mines years ago, and I would get strep throat really bad. And I had my tonsils, and a lot of people that I worked with, they were like getting old real fast. Their working conditions underground. But anyway, I think I had on my immunity, and since I had my tonsils, I'd get strep throat. Well, the thing is, I ended up talking like Wolfman Jack and was almost like permanent. And so what happened was I quit working in the mine and I got here to Washington and I had a doctor remove like he called it like elephant skin on my vocal cords. And he gave me the instructions of, you know, gargling with hot salt water, like three minutes or longer in the shower or whatever, you know, because you'd be coughing up and this and that. Well, anyway, I didn't talk like Wolfman Jack anymore because I had to use my vocal cords, like the scream method, you know, the big vocal cords.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, I'm over here listening to the radio. I listen to the radio. And there's a gentleman that is on the radio, and they claim that one of his, the vocal cords, the nerves are disconnected on one side of his vocal cords. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I figure maybe he ought to be getting a hold of Dr. Sumrath's husband.
Hang on 1 second. The music has started. It means we've got to take a break.
Quick break.
But we'll be right back and finish this conversation.
Yeah, we'll find out about the vocal cords. I'm interested, too. Charlie, stay right there. And Tim, we'll get back with you. And Ray, your calls are coming up. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
I'm Seeger.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Leading Edge Medicine, live in the studio with you on a Labor Day weekend. We're glad you're here. Thank you for listening. Here's the number to get through today and get in the studio with your questions. 206-421-5757. And Charlie, you were talking about throat things and vocal cords.
Yeah, so recap what's going on with the vocal cords, where he's got one of the laryngeal nerves apparently not working?
Exactly. Actually, it's one of your fellow co-hosts on a show earlier than yours. And the thing is, That's why I was saying that. Don't get me wrong. Like, my wife has this doctor. Well, she changed to another nurse practitioner, but this man's retired. But this man, don't get me wrong, he's a heck of a nice guy, but he's like, don't get me wrong, the old country doctor against you. But he's like, he's a good old boy, you know? He's like, killed my wife, you know? If that hurts, well, go ahead and do this exercise. Well, my wife did that exercise, and she couldn't walk for a whole day. She only did it two times.
Oh, no.
Well, all right.
And what was your question, Charlie, about the vocal cords?
My question is it possible that one side of your vocal cords can have a nerve disconnected?
Yes, it can. Yeah, there's the recurrent laryngeal nerves go up and provide the innervation to your vocal cords. They come up right close to the thyroid on either side. Every doctor learns to be afraid of those nerves, because if you have thyroid surgery, the fear is that somebody will do an oops and
cut. Which is why I did not do the surgery, Dr. Mayan, to the radiation on my thyroid.
Everybody's very aware.
Too afraid.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yes.
It's one of those very, very rare but disastrous sorts of things. But, yeah, there's always things can happen to a nerve. A nerve can have a tumor. A nerve can have a stroke, basically. A little blood supply will get clotted off, and that nerve gets hit. So,
this gentleman says he found out, you know, he's had like 7 different scans, and now they found some nodules, he claimed, like in the base of his brain.
Okay.
And he's worried that, you know, like Alzheimer's or dementia. I think it's Alzheimer's or something. But, you know, he's got some other issues. The only thing is like sometimes, like I say, you know, I've been dealt with this clogged artery. Now, I go to all these doctors I've seen, and then all of a sudden I go to a sleep doctor. The guy gives me an examination like I was 7th grade going out for sports. I mean, the most normal examination compared to my regular doctors. But then he looks and says to me, he says, do you know you have a vibration in your carotid artery on the right side? I go, really? You know, I thought, why didn't anybody else see that, you know? And, and yet, you know, like he's a sleep study guy, you know, I'm going to have one of these deals. I go, you know, at home and see if I got the sleep apnea, because since I had that operation last November, I noticed that in 2 times, I know I woke up and said, wait a minute, you got to breathe. You know what I mean? It woke me up.
Yes.
So yeah.
I tell my nurse, and she goes, why are you telling me now? I mean, I'm telling her in April or May, you know? And I said, well, this gal told me back in November 11th that you might have sleep apnea, you know? And I didn't really trust the gal, because she came in there. She was, don't get me wrong, a nurse practitioner. And where they did the incision is on the other side, you know, to go down the other leg. And she pressed on it like she was an elephant, you know? And I go, whoa, what are you doing?
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah, so Charlie, we're looking for your question here, and we want to help you.
You think this man should go to, like, Dr. Sumrat's husband? And
well, if he's a professional on the radio and that's his bread and butter, I would have hoped he would have seen some professionals.
Perhaps, but no, he's wanting to know if Dr. Umat's husband
would see him. Yeah.
And well, he's an ENT surgeon.
Yeah.
And so he works a whole lot with ear, nose, and throat. He knows a lot about laryngeal nerves.
And that's a radio host he's talking about that has all this going on.
Yeah, I understand. But that's a whole different
thing. A whole different thing, yeah.
But he ought to go, you know, the radio host is the one who ought to go see Dr. Umat.
That's right. So. Yeah. And I would hope that he would do that. It's his bread and butter. Right. So.
But anyway, if you've got a carotid artery that's got a vibration, you know, I'd go get a Doppler flow study It doesn't hurt. They just use sound waves, and they can actually visualize the blood flow through your carotid arteries and tell you, is it narrowed? Is there wide open? You know, if there's narrowing, how narrow is it? So it's a fast, easy study, not hard to do, gives you a lot of information. So if somebody told me that I had vibration in one of my carotids, I'd want a Doppler flow study.
There you go. Hopefully that helps. Something to check into, Charlie.
All right.
Hey, thank you for your call. We're going to quickly go to our next call. We have Tim. Good morning, Tim. Hi there.
Tim, are you there?
Two questions. One is kind of a technical practice question. If testosterone is converted to DHT, and DHT is kind of a super testosterone that has androgenic effects, might it not be better to measure and adjust DHT in addition to testosterone?
And we often do. Yeah. At one time, we measured testosterone and DHT in everybody at every lab. But then, because in those days, we were afraid that DHT was why prostates would get big. Right. Now, we don't worry about it so much. And so, we'll often do, you know, one every year or two. But since I'm less concerned about where your levels are, I don't really worry about it much.
Okay. So, if my free and total testosterone were where I wanted them, and the DHT was very high, my theory is that that's not so good for some reason. I can't really.
Okay. Well, here's what I'd look at. Okay, if I'm looking for your total and free testosterone, and then I'm looking at you as a patient, because I'm not treating the laboratory, I'm treating you. Okay. Sure. You're a person. You're not a lab value. And so the question is, what are your symptoms? How are you functioning?
Right. Okay.
If your strength, your energy, your self-confidence, your stress tolerance, your libido, these things are fine, I don't worry.
Okay. So in my case, those things are fine. I guess my concern is, you know, if my toxic masculinity is bubbling just beneath the surface, I'm totally under control. If at some point I was not under control, it would seem to be because the DHT is
perhaps,
too high.
Perhaps, yeah. Although, quite frankly, it's more commonly emotional and social situations that, you know, that will set a man off. Or it's disinhibition with alcohol.
Right.
You know, that's why bar fights are so common. The alcohol means you lose your inhibitions. You know, you may have the urge to smack somebody upside the head, but you don't generally do it.
Yes.
Unless you get a little bit drunk.
So. As I think you've said, you know, when the testosterone surge comes in when you're 16, you don't have a life experience to handle the emotional outburst.
That's right.
At some point, most people develop the maturity.
Yeah, around 30 or 35, most people start to get some self-control.
Figure it out, maybe.
Yeah. And by our age, my friend, we darn well better have.
That's right.
Can I hold on for one more question?
Yep, hold
on.
Sure.
We're going to take a break, Tim, and we'll be right back. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and you can get through with your question, 206-421-5757. Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio to help you out. We'll be right back.
Feel like a woman.
Hey! And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon, Lynette, and Shania.
Right.
And we're back. And Tim, you had one more question that you wanted to ask the doctor.
Yeah, how can we help you, Tim?
I saw a book that's about a 10-year-old book entitled, I've Decided to Live to Be 125 Years Old. And okay. I saw that. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. You know, if you decide, that doesn't make it true. But then I talked to a friend of mine in his 60s, and he said, well, my parents died at 85, so I'm going to plan my financial life and the rest of my life, assuming that I'm going to die at 85. And it just seems to me that that's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy with him. So,
well, it could be.
You know, so what I'm trying to do, and I'd like your opinion on, is to, just like in business where you set, if you don't set goals, you're probably not going to meet them, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you say, I've decided to live to 100 years old, and this is how I'm going to do it. These are my objectives and goalposts and so on. That keeps you growing and could very well have this mental effect that we don't understand about having goals and achieving them. And it just seems like something that patients in your clinic, once they get to a certain point, you know, you might say, you know, how long do you want to live? I know you don't promise anything like that, but the goal setting.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, I'm in favor of goals.
Mm-hmm.
And my physiologic goals for my body and for my brain, I want to keep my brain function as good as I possibly can, as long as I possibly can. And so, you know, I use the supplements that I know increase blood flow to my brain. And that's, you know, and also the drugs. So I use the tadalafil because that improves blood flow to the brain. I use resveratrol because that helps preserve blood flow to the brain in older people. I keep my body fat as low as practical. You know, the normal percentage of body fat for a man is between 9% and 19% of your body should be fat. Well, I like to keep mine down around 10 or 11. Okay, that's my goal, because fat produces pro-inflammatory cytokines that clog up your arteries and help your brain cells to die faster. Mm. So I keep my body fat in the low end of the normal range, but not below that, because you need some fat in your brain and your joints and your skin. I want to keep my muscle mass, interestingly. My goal with my muscle mass is I keep it 20 to 25% above a 40-year-old's level. Okay. Because working muscle produces more than 300 now myokines we've identified. 300 different things that working muscle produces to make you grow new brain cells, to heal your blood vessels, to keep your skin good, to make your bones strong, to kill cancer, to prevent heart disease, to prevent diabetes. So if working muscle produces all of these good things that help to rejuvenate your body, then I want as much working muscle as practical. So even though I'm 76, I keep myself at 20 to 25% more muscle than the average 40-year-old. All right. So I keep my body fat low, my muscle mass high. And then I exercise. I run. I run 3 miles or so. I'm on the trail 6 days a week. 3 days I walk, 3 days I run. Okay. I in my 8-hour workday, because I still work 8 hours a day, yes, 76. I do my first set of 50 push-ups when I shave in the morning. And when I hit the office at 8 a.m., I do my first curls and overhead press. At 9, I do push-ups. At 10, I do curls and overhead press. At 11, I do push-ups. At 12, I do curls and overhead press. Then I go to lunch. Then I come back at 1. So during the course of an 8-hour workday, I've done 250 push-ups and 40 to 50 curls and overhead presses. It keeps my muscle mass high. That in addition to the runs in the mornings. Then I walk 3 miles in the evening with my wife. So we talk and share our days. In addition, I keep my hormone levels at a 25-year-old level so that all my testosterone, progesterone, pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, thyroid levels, all of these I keep at a 25-year-old level. That gives my body the tools to work with that it otherwise would not have. And I take rapamycin, which is the only drug we know of that has significantly increased lifespan in every animal it's ever been used on. So I keep rapamycin at the upper levels of where it's traditionally been done. And I go in periodically a few times a year, and I wipe out my excess senescent cells.
Mm.
Because treating old animals with senescent cells has been shown to increase their lifespan by 36%.
Wow.
Okay. So rapamycin, 20%. Senescent cell therapy, 36%. I don't know if they're additive, but they're certainly not going to hurt. Well, if the average lifespan is in the mid-70s, about where I am now, 76.6 years,
mm-hmm.
okay, so in 6 months I'll be there.
And then you'll be above average.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but how long am I going to live? Well, I don't know. Okay. But if I can still run, jump, leap, cavort, make love, sing, dance, have a wonderful time at 80, 90, 100, 110, I'll accept it.
Yeah, we'll do it. Know?
And when it ends, it ends. And because I'm in business and I'm making lots of long-term plans, I'm quite confident that whenever I come to the end, there will be about half a dozen plans that will be left unfulfilled. But that's okay. I've got them. I'm working on them. I'm making progress. I'm building a future for my descendants. I'm having a lot of fun. Hey, life doesn't get a lot better than
no,
this.
No, I think that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess my point is, if you could somehow convince your patients that doing these things, these studies show this percentage increase in longevity, then they could believe it when they set
yes.
an age goal, right?
Well,
and you know, yeah, saying it doesn't make people believe it. Yeah. But our problem
is that the studies are in shorter lived animals, because humans, we live almost 80. Mm-hmm. So if we increase the human lifespan by 36, we're not going to see that, you know, until the person's well over 100. And so studies are expensive. And so typically human studies are only done for 3 to 4 months. A few rare ones will go out 6 months or a year. So nobody's going to do a study on people doing all the stuff that we do over a 50-year period. And if they did it over a 50-year period, it's too late to help you and me.
Yes.
You know,
so you got to do what you got to do and what yeah, you know, right?
I can't afford to wait 20 or 30 years to get the answers. So I do what I can do. I do the best I can do. I shift the odds in my favor as far as I can, and then I just relax and play the game.
There you go. Hey, Tim, thank you so much for your call.
Hold on. One more.
Well, we got to go to break, and we've got callers
waiting. They're cutting us off, Tim.
Yeah. So, Tim, you'll have to call back next week, okay? And Ray will be talking with you in just a moment. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. And here is the number to get through with your call, just like Tim and Charlie and Joanne today, 206-421-5757. That is the number today, using a temporary number, a little bit different than what you're used to. So here it is again, 206-421-5757. We're going to continue talking about mental acuity and getting our memory and doing the best that we can with Ray in just a moment. So stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. We'll be back.